went back to Dad. Dad wasn't waiting there with the shotgun, but there was the father, saw him coming a long way off, and he ran on his neck and kissed him. So there was certainly an illustration of repentance. That young man repented, came to himself, and admitted how wrong he had been, and how he had wronged his father, and how he'd sinned against God. So he went. It's a change of attitude towards yourself and towards God. I'm a sinful human being. He's a holy God, and he commands me to repent. And you'll see that in just a moment. So it's a change of attitude about yourself. It's also a change of attitude about God, who he is and who we are. We're just sinful human beings, and a holy God sent his son to die on a cross to pay for us. It's a change of mind about and towards sin. Sin is sinful, and sin is wicked, and God hates sin. So we really have to come to that realization. It can also be translated regret, but I don't want to get into that. I want to get into the message tonight. That was just a little bit of an introduction. Let's have a look at where the rubber meets the road. The importance of the doctrine of repentance. Number one, it was preached by John the Baptist. Look at Matthew 3:1. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. I've had people say, boy, why do you preach an old-fashioned doctrine like that? Because Jesus did. John the Baptist did. And we're also commanded to preach it. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, he even called the religious leaders we talked about this morning. He called them to repentance. And they say, who us? You got it all wrong. We don't need repentance. What did he call them? A generation of vipers and serpents. John the Baptist didn't mince his words, nor did the Lord Jesus Christ. They called these people to repentance. Not just the common people, but the religious leaders and those who were the intellectuals of the day. So the doctrine of repentance was not only preached by John the Baptist, but Matthew 4, verse 17. Look there with me. The Lord Jesus Christ himself preached the doctrine of repentance. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And these were the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the essence of the message of John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance. Repent. Repentance always goes before salvation. As we see the preaching of the apostles, the Lord Jesus Christ, and also John the Baptist. Look at Luke 11, verse 32. Luke 11, verse 32. So yes, it is an important doctrine. When others have cast that doctrine aside, they don't want to preach it because they don't want to offend anybody. And yet, how can you offer salvation to someone without repentance? The apostles and the Lord Jesus, John the Baptist, required them to repent. We should also require people to repent. And we have churches all across the land now, not we, but I say churches across the land are full of people who have never repented of their sin. They've never come to that realization they need to, because many times they've never even heard a message on repentance. Anybody ever seen the movie Sheffie? Oh, a great movie. I just love it how that woman would come in her rebellion and she'd throw that red rose of defiance down, you know. She'd leave that red rose of defiance. I'm not going to repent. I'm not going to get saved. But you know, when poor old brother Sheffy died, she turns up at the funeral at a distance in her carriage. And then after it's all over, she places the white rose of surrender there. Repentance, mate. It's great stuff. These old preachers preached on repentance. And so look here in Luke chapter 11, verse 32. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And then, of course, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Jonah went and preached an 8-word message. He went in there, said, 40 days, yet Nineveh shall be destroyed. 120,000 people repented. Judgment day's only 40 days away, mate. We better get right with God. And they got right with God, and God spared them. God gave them mercy because of repentance. Jonah didn't like that. See, he walked along kicking his bottom lip, Jonah. God said, go. Jonah said, no. He headed the opposite direction. God sent out a storm. And then God sent out a whale. Next thing you know, God commands the whale to spit Jonah up on the beach, and they get going. And you know, as you read through the book of Jonah, he says, you know, I knew you were going to do that. That's why I didn't want to go. You know, I go out there, you make me look like a fool, basically. Said, I'm going to go out there and tell them judgment day is coming, and all of a sudden they're going to get right with you, and are you going to spare them? That's going to make me look bad. That's what I read into it, sorry. Jonah. Oh, I wish I could die. He was embarrassed. I tell you what, he felt sorry for himself. He needed to feel sorry for himself. He was a sorry case, Jonah, I tell you. But anyway, let's move on. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he preached it. And he said, you know, Jonah preached it. Look over here in Mark chapter 6 and verse 12. So it's preached by John the Baptist. It was preached by the Lord Jesus Christ. It was preached by the 12. He sent them out. And he told them not to pussyfoot around and not to weaken it and water it down, but he told them here in Mark chapter 6 and verse 12. And they went out and preached that all men should repent. That was the message. They were to go out and call people to repentance. Preachers aren't doing that today, and that's why we're not seeing changes in people's lives. I mean, people come in and they think, you know, just say a little prayer. There's no change in their life. And you know that sometimes that the devil deceives them, and they've been deceived into thinking that they've gotten saved without repentance. So I believe that people do still need to repent of their sin. The 12 apostles preached it. Look over here in Luke chapter 20. I wonder if Judas Iscariot preached that. I'd say yes, he did. Because if he didn't, they'd pick him as a dud straight away. He fooled the other 11 for 3.5 years. Come the night of the betrayal, Jesus said, one of you will betray me. They said, well, who would do that? See, he fooled them for 3.5 years. Luke chapter 24. Let's have a look at that. Luke chapter 24. Repentance. Change of mind, change of will, change of direction. So Luke chapter 24. I'm not getting too loud, am I? Don't want to get too boisterous or get too loud. But here in Luke chapter 24, verse 47, I do get a bit excited about preaching the word of God sometimes. So it says that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So the Lord Jesus Christ is giving them the Great Commission. He's telling them he's going to get ready to go back to be with the Father. They are to carry on his ministry, to carry on the preaching. And what does he tell them? That repentance and remissions of sins should be preached. You couple those two things together. Repentance and remission of sins. Repentance and forgiveness. They go together. This was a part of the Great Commission that was given to the church. Today it's still a part of the Great Commission. It's still a part of the preaching of the church, but sadly it's a part of the Great Omission. They leave that part out. But Christ tells us we need to preach repentance. And then, of course, look over here on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, singling out these individuals. On the day of Pentecost, all these people had come from all over the known Roman world of that day. The Jews had come. And so in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Acts 2 verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, repent, repent, repent. Peter cried out, repent, on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people got saved on the day of Pentecost. How many people were in Jerusalem on that day? I don't know. There's more than 3,000. How do you know that? Well, look where they came from. I would say there may have been 50,000, maybe 100,000, yeah, maybe only 20,000. But I know one thing, 3,000 got saved, the rest walked away in unbelief. But what was the preceding part of the message? Repent. Sinful people. And listen, Peter laid it at their feet and told them that they need to get saved. They needed to repent. And so that was carried out by the Apostle Peter. Look at chapter 3, verse 19. Follow this through with the preaching of the apostles. Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Hey, never be afraid and never be ashamed to preach repent. All the years that I preached out on the street up in Townsville and Mackay and on radio, I tell people, you know, the Bible says that you need to repent of your sin. That means to turn away from your sin. Turn to God. Turn away from your sin. A turnaround in your life and forsake sin. Get away from it. Have nothing to do with it. And so it was carried out by the Apostle Peter. Look at the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 26. We know Paul preached repentance. What a change in that man's life. He hated the gospel, hated the church, hated the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet when he was struck down on the Damascus Road, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. You get into town here, and you'll get a visit from me, and you'll be instructed what you're going to have to do." And, of course, he wound up being one of the greatest preachers in the history of the Christian church. So Saul of Tarsus met the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, as you look down here in Acts chapter 26, he is giving his testimony here, as he did in Acts chapter 22. Great to read the testimony of Paul there, and he lays it bare how that he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But look here in Acts chapter 26. Look down in verse 20 with me. "But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." They should show forth the evidence that they have repented. John the Baptist said the same thing. Paul is giving his testimony here, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. So the Apostle Paul definitely preached about repentance. It was necessary. Look at John chapter 12 here a minute, please. John 12. Have a look down to verse 50 with me. John 12, verse 50. Says here, "I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." He said to them, the commandment of God is life everlasting. Have a look over here in Acts 17:30. So the commandment of God is life everlasting. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, Acts 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." So the commandment of God is repent. The commandment of God is everlasting life. Repentance precedes everlasting life. Paul went there into the city of Athens, and he was grieved when he saw the idolatry and the wickedness of the place. He even had their altar set up to all these gods, and they even had one to the unknown God. Paul said, "He's the one I'm going to tell you about, the one you don't know, the unknown God. You know all about all these other pagan gods that the Romans and the Greeks worship. Now I'm going to tell you about the one you don't know about, the unknown God." Where does he start? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. That's a good place to start. "God who made the world." Isn't that what it said? To the unknown God. He starts in Genesis chapter 1:1 and he finishes up with Judgment Day. Yeah. He's going to judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained, the one he raised from the dead. And he's commanded all men everywhere to repent. It's not a scary thing. It's just that God says, if you want to get saved, you need to repent. A biblical principle laid down in the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ said, repentance precedes forgiveness. If you repent, forgive him. That goes for sinful human beings like you and me. God will forgive us when we repent. We come, we repent, he forgives. So repentance precedes forgiveness. And so the Apostle Paul preached it, and then, of course, it's God's desire that men should repent. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, please. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God not only commands it, but it's God's desire that men should repent. Chapter 3, verse, will he overlook man's sinfulness? And yeah, that's right, you don't have to repent. No, he's not like that. He requires men to repent. We saw that in Acts chapter 17. Here in verse 9, 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us, but not willing that any should perish, but that all, not some, but all, A-L-L, should come to repentance. God wants lost men to get saved. He wants saved people to repent when they're out of fellowship as well. So repentance is something God requires, not only of lost people, but also saved people. You don't lose your salvation because you get into sin. But if you do get into sin, you need to repent and confess it and get right with God. So it's God's desire that men should repent. As I said, Revelation 2 and 3, the Lord Jesus Christ pointed that out to the seven churches of Asia. He pointed out to five of them that they needed to do something about the state and condition of their soul and their people. Look over here in Luke chapter 13. There was the old church at Laodicea. It says, they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. You know, mate, I'm really something. The Lord said unto them, you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You can't even see yourself for what you really are. He said, you need to repent. It's like the rich man there. He had so much stuff he didn't know what to do with it. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my goods, store it up for many years, and I'll take my ease, and I'll eat, drink, and be merry. He thought he was wise, and God said, thou fool. He thinks, I'm going to live a long time, and said, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. He's thinking, I'm going to enjoy all this stuff. And the Lord said, well, who shall those things be? He thought he was wise. God said he was a fool. He thinks he's going to live a long time to enjoy that. God says, you're going to die tonight. He said, then who's going to get it? That man never repented. Look at the guy in Luke 16. Never even cared about his soul. All he cared about was money, pleasure, leisure, pleasure and treasure. He died and went to hell. When he was down there in hell, he's only there. The short time that you read those verses in Luke chapter 16, only there a short time. What's he saying? Somebody needs to go and warn my five brothers. He didn't say, I want them down here with me. Someone needs to warn my five brothers or they're going to wind up here with me. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Throw you out a little bit of information. He won't charge you for that either. There is life after death. People do know what's going on after death. See, Abraham died before Moses. Abraham died before Isaiah and Jeremiah. And he knew that there was Moses. He knew that there were prophets. And he knew that the word of God was read and the word of God hadn't even been written. Think about that. Saying, you know, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. So Abraham knew what was going on. How did he know about that? Do some research and you'll see. That'll give you something to do. That'll keep you out of mischief. All right, so God's desire is that men should repent. Luke chapter 13, did we get there? Like I said this morning, I wasn't listening. So Luke chapter 13, verse 2 and 3. Luke 13, 2 and 3. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The Lord Jesus Christ never hesitated to call sinful men to repentance. Whether they were the common people that were flocking around him or whether it was the religious leaders. Matthew 23. You've only got to read that. I'm not going to turn there. Boy, he went out and laid it on the line and told them what they were. No wonder they hated him. So salvation. Repentance is a part of salvation. It precedes forgiveness. So a person needs to repent if they're going to get saved. Look here in Acts chapter 20, please. Acts chapter 20. So it's God's desire that men should repent. Repentance precedes salvation. It's a part of salvation. You can't separate it. But also it's inseparable from faith and trust. So how can they preach a message on salvation without preaching repentance? They're leaving out the preceding part. They need to tell people that they are sinful and they need to repent of their sins. But we don't want to offend people and say, you sinners. Well, that's what they say anyway. Who's that guy over there in Texas? His name is Joel Osteen. Anybody ever heard of him? Oh, what a ratbag. Someone sent me a link to Larry King. Now, he's he was a TV mogul or something in America, and he just died recently. And Larry King said that he was not a Christian. He was basically agnostic or atheistic. He says his wife was a Christian. I don't know whether she was or not. But you know something? He had Joel Osteen on his talk program on TV. Someone sent me the clip. So he's talking to Joel Osteen, who's got a big, quote-unquote, mega church in Texas. So in this little interview, he says to Joel Osteen, so the message you preach, so you tell people they need to repent? Oh, no, I don't do that. But aren't people sinful people? He didn't want to say yes. So he says, but people are dying and going to hell. They need to be told. This is what Larry King's telling him. He said, I don't tell people that. So, you know, how come these guys get a great big crowd like that because they're not preaching and repentance. Go back and have a look at that for yourself. Have a look at the interview. People rang up Joel Osteen. People rang up Larry King. I used to go to that fellow's church. Oh, I'm not going to his church anymore. He's too ashamed and afraid to tell people what he believes. He's too afraid to tell people they're sinners and they need to get saved. You know? How can you go to something like that? Be a part of that. Beats me. All right, so look here in Acts chapter 20. We got lost on that. I don't know what happened. We went chasing rabbits. Look here in Acts chapter 20, 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We have offended God, therefore we need to repent because we're sinful human beings and we need to embrace the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Repentance precedes forgiveness. And it's inseparable from faith and trust. Repentance towards God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repentance and faith brings remission. We saw that. We won't read that again, Acts 2, 38. Romans 3, 25. Romans chapter 3. Repentance and faith brings remission. Romans 3 and verse 25. Now, I've got to thank God for the people I've ministered to over the last 40-something years. I'll ask him, what was that verse I just said? What did I tell you to turn to? Because I forget sometimes and they'll tell me. So thank God for the congregations we get to minister to. Amen. We rely on them. So here, Romans chapter 3, verse 25. It says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Think about this. The righteousness of God. It declares the righteousness of God, the gospel does. So does the law. But a person has to come to that repentance because he has sinned and offended a holy God. He's offended a holy God, sinned against a holy God. So faith and remission go together as you read the word of God. And lastly, Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. If you'll turn there with me, please. Acts chapter 5. Look down with me, please, in verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. It's not a work for salvation, it's a gift. So repentance. God gives unto men repentance. God grants unto men repentance. So as you look at this here, verse 30 and 31, particularly verse 31, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. So when we go out and we tell people, you know, that we're all sinful human beings, Romans 3.10, Romans 3.23, Romans 6.23, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God, it's done righteous, no, not one, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life. There has to be that area of recognizing, hey, I'm a sinful human being. I've offended God by my sin. Jesus Christ died in my place, took my sin, took my punishment, and he offers me the free gift of salvation. I was going over some of the messages, and one of them was, hey, he sets before you an open door. I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. It's as simple as calling on his name. Romans 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Preceding that, a person must recognize that, hey, he is a sinner, he has offended God, and Jesus Christ died to save him from his sin. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the doctrine of repentance. It's a great doctrine, Lord, and yet it's so neglected in this modern day and age. People are afraid to preach it for fear that they will offend people. But Lord, it's far better to offend man than to offend God, and we know the gospel is an offense. I pray, Lord, we'd go out there with a heart of concern and compassion for the lost, Lord, but never water down the gospel where we leave out the area of repentance. Make this message so clear to every one of us tonight and those that are watching on the outside. I pray you'd speak to hearts. Have your way in each heart and life now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen.